Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast. On today's program, we have Washburn Rural head coach Damon Parker. The Junior Blues have established themselves among the top programs in 6A wrestling in the state of Kansas. During the 2019-20 season, the girls program helped elevate the status a notch further by coming away with a state championship at the inaugural state tournament in Salina. 2 days later, the boys program took Mill Valley to the wire when they finished as runner-up in the boys state tournament. For his efforts, Damon Parker has been named KWCA and NWCA Girls Coach of the Year. Coach joins us on the line today. Coach Parker, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Coach. Always great to talk to you.
You built your numbers and put out a plan in place when the decision was made by Kasia to adapt girls wrestling as a standalone sport. Tell us about your thought process and how you put those thoughts to action in building a state championship performance.
Well, the first thing I would do is if you're interested in growing your girls program, get registered for that KWCA clinic. I don't think we'll have time today to give away all the secrets, but we will at that clinic. When we were just waiting for the Kasia green light, we had a feeling it was coming. And once we got it, I knew that we could either open the door and hope that the girls will walk through it, or we could be proactive and start searching for solutions. And so that's what we decided to do. And I knew that if we kind of went halfway on this thing, we wouldn't have much response. But if we went out and started beating the streets, we'd be able to put together a pretty competitive squad.
All right, so you have built a competitive program on the boys' side as well. But for the focus of this interview, it's the success of your girls' program that we're talking about. What was different about putting your practice schedule and competitive schedule together for the gals as compared to the guys?
Well, with our girls, we had to be I'm trying to think of a good way to say it. We had to be a bit more accommodating as far as other schedules go. With our boys, we've spent 10 years, you know, developing the culture around here and the expectations for our student athletes as far as, you know, what's important during wrestling season and what priorities need to be. With our girls, I knew that I was borrowing girls from other programs, from different clubs around school, borrowing girls from band, borrowing girls from our cheer squad. So we had to make some accommodations there. And one of the biggest ones was our girls practiced after our boys, for the most part, completely separate from the boys squad. And that actually worked out to our benefit because our girls practiced from 5:30 until 7 every night. And that allowed them to do all the other activities that they were involved in, which was even more impressive because I had girls that were at school for 0 hour band. Then they had after school activities and they were literally at school for 14, 15 hours a day so that they could wrestle. And it was a huge commitment on their part and I'm super proud of them.
Yeah. It sounds like it was a really well thought out plan, really from the recruiting process all the way through what you did for practice and the competitive schedule as well. So the 2020 state tournament was not without its drama. Talk about what it was like to see the title hopes slip away, then revived as the final round opened and the dramatic ending to the event.
Man, that was wild. That was one of the, outside of the boys tournament in 2018, that was about as crazy of a state tournament as I've seen. Mainly because some of the drama was rule associated. There was, the five match limit. And there are a couple girls from a couple different teams that ended up making it into medal rounds based off of that, or winning medal matches based off of that that five match rule. And I thought that was going to come back and bite us in the butt. And then we went into the hallway. I can't remember how many we were down going into the last round, but essentially we had four girls in the medal round and we needed all four of them to score us falls. And I knew that the likelihood of that happening probably wasn't great. And I was forthcoming with the girls about that and told them, you know, there's nothing wrong with second place. And we've got second place sewed up. But if the four of you go out and find us some pins, then we'll have a story you can tell your grandkids about. And they did exactly that. Haley Robinette started us off. She was wrestling a gal from Prairie View that had given her fits all year. And Haley had a 1-0 lead going into the third, somehow found a way to get that girl on her back and stuck her. And it was it was one of those moments where it was like, okay. And you could kind of sense the momentum coming our direction. And then we just continued to roll. Julia Johnson placed third. Rebecca Smith did what Rebecca does. She is an absolute beast. And then it came down to Deja Anderson and we needed a pin in the state finals. against the girl that she had beaten 1-0 the week before in the regional finals. And I always bet on Deja, man. She came out and tossed the girl in a headlock and had a walk-off state championship win. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that really was a nice retelling there. That was awesome. So the girls' wrestling movement is not slowing down. The number of states that have sanctioned the sport is now at 27, including Kansas and all four of its contiguous states. What advice would you give coaches of states that are in the initial year of their competition?
You'll get out of this thing what you want to put into it. It's we put on the back of the T-shirts every year, all in, or whatever slogan we throw up there. I mean, if you want to get something out of this thing, you got to be all in with it, man. You can't go halfway. And you will get a great return on your investment if you give your girl side just as much attention as you do your boy side. And kind of like I mentioned earlier, if you open the door, they're not going to walk through it. Like our boys program is at the point where our practice room is pretty dang intimidating. And there aren't a whole lot of beginning girls that want to try out the sport that are willing to come in and knock heads with Bishop Murray and Jacob Tang Preacher for 2 hours every single day. But yeah, if you can make it so it's an appropriate practice room for your kids, which is going to mean some more time on your part as a head coach, you'll get a heck of a lot more out of it than if you just kind of open the door and hope for the best.
Okay, on the note of teams that have yet to sanction girls wrestling, it is interesting to note that the power states like Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and New York have exactly zero that have joined the movement. Why do you think that is, and what is your message to those states, among others?
I can't speak to why that is. I haven't followed it really closely as far as the politics of why they have or have not added. My personal opinion is that it's abhorrent. I think it's with the trend of girls wrestling being added nationwide, the fact that they're willing to exclude literally half of the high school student population is that it's beyond words to me. I don't understand it. And eventually they will join everybody else and it will be added. And all I can say is I'm grateful that Kansas came down on the right side of history, because I think it's until you see the girls actually out on the mat and go through a season with them, you have no idea what this adds to their lives. And the fact that some of the power states outside of Kansas haven't done it it's disturbing, to be completely honest with you.
All right. Well said. So do you hope to branch your girls program off into a wholly separate program, similar to boys and girls basketball, or is the plan to continue to run your boys and girls program together?
We've already done that, actually. And a lot of people don't realize that, but we have a separate coaching staff for our girls team. We have different uniforms, different logo, different practice times. What we tell our kids is different teams, same program. We're all Washburn Rural. However, like I said, we try to have some separation there so the girls can feel some ownership of their own program. And one thing that was really, really special last year is when we were dueling Blue Valley North or Blue Valley Southwest at home for our senior night, biggest duel of the year in Kansas, every single one of our girls was there in the crowd cheering on our boys. And when our girls were going against number one McPherson at home, every single one of our boys was there cheering their heads off for the girls. So they absolutely support each other and they've got each other's backs, but we are two very distinctly different teams.
All right, so what are your major selling points when recruiting the girls to take up the sport for the first time? I mean, you talked about the open the door, they're not just going to come in. So how did you get them to come in?
Oh, man, how long do you have? It depends on the audience, man. Depending on who I was talking to, we'd hit different talking points. But we hit all the normal hot spots. Like, we went to the weights classes, and we went to every one of the ninth grade PE classes, and I just gave a quick, brief 5-minute presentation to all of them. But then we started hitting up clubs. We went to the FFA club, the Gay Straight Alliance club. We went to the theater department. We went to the marching band, which is an absolute gold mine, because in marching band here at Washburn Rural, we've got, 200 kids or whatever, half of those being female, all of which are used to showing up and working hard, because our marching band is run like a well-oiled machine here. And So those girls are used to moving, and they really don't have a whole lot to do in the wintertime. And so that's where a ton of our girls came from. And it's, yeah, it's, you can't just tack up a couple posters in the hallway and like I said, hope for the best. You got to go start ringing doorbells and dialing phone numbers. And we did that, and they responded. And again, every group was approached a little bit differently, but I think one commonality between all of them was that they like me, enjoyed the prospect of doing something for the first time. I think that there's something tremendously attractive about being the first group to ever do something. Like that, there are so few opportunities we get in life to actually make history. And those girls saw that opportunity and they jumped all over it.
All right, so tell us what your expectations are for the 2020-21 season based on what you have returning from the title team of 2020.
Oh, good gravy, man. Like, we're ready to go bear hunting with a switch. We've got some girls that are coming back. We lost two off of our team last year. Jaden Taggart's going to be hard to replace, as will Haley Robinette. Those were two of our state qualifiers, but we've got three medalists returning. We expect Addie Broxman to be a medalist for us this year, and we've got some other girls waiting in the wings that were kind of stuck behind some of those older gals last year that they know how to wrestle, and it's no longer like a first-year novice program with the girls. Like, we're going to be able to hit the ground running and build off of all the things that they learned last year, and Washburn Women's Wrestling isn't going anywhere. We're going to be around for a while.
All right, so we've been visiting with 2020 Girls Coach of the Year, Damon Parker of Washburn Rural High School. Coach, thanks for the time and good luck in the upcoming season.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Go Blues.
This has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast, reminding you to get your registration in for the 2020 KWCA Virtual Fall Clinic. Registration is open at kansaswrestling.org. Until next time, thanks for listening.